Welcome, dear ones, to our Friday evening church service on July the 11th, 2025. Praise God for his merciful kindness, his answers to prayer, and for his tender love. It makes this life in this world of sin easier to deal with. Without his love and merciful kindness and blessings, this life would be most miserable. So thank you, Father. Welcome also to those here in the room, those listening on the phone, and those listening to the recording. I'm glad to have each one with you tonight. Our opening song is Count Your Blessings. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will around attend. Help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Amen. And you know, it's a blessing to go back and remember and mark all the blessings, answers to prayer that God has done for you. It changes your whole demeanor, your whole spirit. It actually is a blessing to count your blessings. So when you feel depressed, when you feel like God isn't hearing your or answering your prayers, when you feel that life is just not what you expected it to be, instead of dwelling on that negative, downward, pointing course, start thinking about what you do have, what blessings God has given you, and it will change things for the better. So what a beautiful song. Dear ones, please join with me for opening prayer. Precious Father, we thank you so very much for thy great love, thy merciful kindness, thy tender regard, thy compassion that you have for each one of your children. Thank you for bringing us safely through another week to another fellowship, another time in which we can come together and unite our voices in one accord in praising you, from whom all blessings flow, especially the greatest blessing of all, Jesus. We meet here in his name. We ask that your presence and the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will be with each listening heart. Savior, dispel darkness in our hearts. Let the truth reign supreme. And Spirit, be our teacher, our guide, our instructor in righteousness and truth. And please convict us of our sins and the nearness of the judgment. Thank you for doing so. Dear Savior, we thank you for being our great physician as well as the deliverer. We pray that you'll be with those who have asked for prayers or those that we said we would pray for, especially for healing grace, whether mental, physical, or spiritual. And thank you for setting them free. Thank you again for the privilege of meeting together in freedom without oppression or persecution. Help us to leave all our cares and perplexities aside, that we might indeed be pointed upward to our blessed Redeemer and see his truth tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Count your blessings. We are continuing in Prophets and Kings. This is chapter 35, titled Approaching Doom. And we left off at the, about a third of the way down on page 432 that starts out the prophet's words. And the last thing that we were discussing when our time closed last Friday was that God was instructing Jeremiah what to do, when to do it, what to say, when to say it, how much to say, right? He was instructing him in all these areas. And God instructed Jeremiah to go directly to the city, to the court of the temple, and where this concourse of people were gathering or passing to and from, he was to speak the words of the Lord. And these words were very pointed. He said, the God of Israel says or declares, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they hardened their necks and did not hear my words. So that's where we ended, and now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. The prophet's words, instead of leading to confession and repentance, aroused the anger of those high in authority. And as a consequence, Jeremiah was deprived of his liberty, imprisoned and placed in the stocks. The prophet nevertheless continued to speak the messages of heaven to those who stood by. His voice could not be silenced by persecution. The word of truth, he declared, was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. In other words, he had to say something. So even though Jeremiah couldn't speak in public anymore, he was put in jail. There was no lock put on his mouth, so he continued to speak the words of God to his jailer, to the officers, to the deputies, to the sheriffs, to other inmates there in the jail. He continued to preach the word of the Lord to many or to few. And this kind of reminds me that God says to spread his truth like the leaves of autumn. So even though you may not think people are listening, even though you may not have the courage to go out and preach the word of the Lord in public, you can definitely pass out tracts. Jeremiah was thrown in prison, which meant there was very few people that was going to hear his message, and yet he continued to preach it. So put those tracts out, even if it's just in the bathrooms or as our dear sister does, in books and in pockets of the clothes, you know, wherever you can put it in. Spread the seeds of truth, even though you may not think anyone is listening. And if people end up grabbing the track and putting it in the trash, well, God can watch over that track. And he can allow even the janitor who picks up the trash, he can allow him to be encouraged or to be interested in what that track has to say. So spread it like the leaves of autumn, and God will take care of the rest. Any other insights or comments you'd like to make before we go to the next paragraph? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
It was about this time that the Lord commanded Jeremiah to commit to writing the messages he desired to bear to those whose salvation his heart of pity was continually yearning. Take thee a roll of a book, the Lord bade his servant, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from that day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all of the evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Jeremiah 36, verse 2 and 3.
Amen. Amen. So, Jeremiah had been preaching in public, and he's preaching in jail, and it doesn't seem that his message is having much effect. In fact, people are getting angry when he shares the truth with them from the Lord. So what God then has him do is to start writing down every word that God had inspired him to preach from the days that he began his ministry all the way up to that time. Now, this is covering many years. So how is Jeremiah going to remember every single word that he had spoken of the Lord from day one all the way up to the present time, even though that was many years in the making? Any ideas?
The Holy Spirit would recall it to his mind. The Holy Spirit is with us all the time, guiding and leading.
Exactly. It only through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit will bring back the things of truth, what Jesus has said, the truth, to our minds when we need it most. So the Spirit is the one that inspired Jeremiah to speak these words. And so the Spirit could bring the very same words back to him, so that he could write it in a book, or that he could dictate it to, what was his name, Barak, and have him write it in a book. So if God's word is in your heart, if you read it for yourself, then that allows the Spirit to bring it back to your memory when you need it most. But if you don't have God's word in your heart and mind, then how can the Spirit bring it back? It's not there. So that shows us the importance of spending time in God's word, not just reading it, but pondering upon it, thinking upon it, trying to memorize it so it becomes a part of you. And ask the Holy Spirit to write God's word in your heart and mind. And then,
you know,
go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to add, you know, singing really can bring it back to your mind too. So if you sing scripture, it's there in your mind. When I was going to, school to become an RN in my later years, I had to remember the first 10 elements of the look at me, I can't remember that now. The elemental periodic table, the first 10 elements. So I made up a tune. The tune went, hi, he, li, be, b, c, n, o, f, n, e. I got them all just because of that tune. And it happens that way with scripture. If you're singing the scripture, it brings it back. The music is very helpful that way, along with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah. Any other thoughts or comments before we go to the next paragraph? And who would like to read that paragraph?
In obedience to this command, Jeremiah called to his aid a faithful friend, Barak, the scribe, and dictated all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him. Verse 4. These were carefully written out on a scroll of parchment and constituted a solemn reproof for sin, a warning of the sure result of continual apostasy, and an earnest appeal for the renunciation of evil.
Amen. Amen. Now, parchment, or scrolls, or books, having papyrus, or I don't think they had paper made from wood back then, but they had animal skins, they had papyrus, they had other forms of writing, sometimes clay. They even wrote on thin copper sheets. So this was quite an ordeal to write down all the words that God had spoken to him or through him for all of his lifetime. But faithful to God's command, Jeremiah did so. And he needed help with this. So he called his faithful friend who happened to be a scribe. And Jeremiah dictated all the words of the Lord which he had spoken to him. So in other words, the Spirit recalled to his memory all the words that God inspired him to speak, and he then told these words to Baruch, and Baruch wrote them down. Quite amazing. And who would like to read the next paragraph? Well, I'll go ahead and read. When the writing was completed, Jeremiah, who was still a prisoner, sent Baruch to read the roll to the multitudes who were assembling at the temple on the occasion of a national fast day in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. In the ninth month, it may be, the prophet said, they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. That's verses 9 and 7. So when all the words had been dictated to Baruch and he wrote them all down and finished the book, Jeremiah then instructed Baruch to go and read the words to all the people that were assembled together there at the feast, or the fast day. And so even though Jeremiah himself couldn't do it, He then led individuals to the Baruch to speak the words for him. So you can be in a situation in which you yourself cannot accomplish the work that you believe God has called you to do. But there may be others who will do that work for you. So don't lose hope. Don't give up. Continue forward, and God will make a way for you to continue to spread the truth that God gives you for the people. So one way or another, the words were going to get out. And you know, dear ones, God calls each one of us to spread the truth. That word is going to get out. It's going to reach the hearts of the people, and the Spirit is going to be right there to impress the truth. You don't have to worry about it. Just be faithful, and God will take care of the rest. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Obeyed. And the roll was read before all the people of Judah. Afterward, the scribe was summoned before the princes to read the words to them. They listened with great interest and promised to inform the king concerning all they had heard, but counseled the scribe to hide himself, for they feared the king would reject the testimony and seek to slay those who had prepared and delivered the message.
Ooh. Amen. Amen. And I think this shows us that we need to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. So Jeremiah didn't instruct Baruch that he was to stand right there and continue preaching the word until he was arrested, or until he was persecuted. He told them to preach the word, and the word was bringing about a great interest among the people. And there was some influential people there that heard the word that had access to the king. But they also recognized that Jehoiakim had a anger problem, especially when he was rebuked, when his sins were pointed out. And so they weren't afraid to go before the king and say what Jeremiah through Baruch had said, but they were afraid that the king would come after Baruch or after Jeremiah for preaching this message. So there was wisdom given in that, and Baruch hid himself. So there was wisdom there. And if God doesn't tell you or impress you to stand your ground, then there's nothing wrong. That's no lack of faith for you to go somewhere else. Just allow God to lead you. Any other thoughts or comments?
In this case, Baruch listened to the wise men, and as he probably did in all the cases, but God will always tell you, my impression or reading, what you should do, and it's always wise to listen to God, especially.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And continuing. When King Jehoiakim was told by the princes what Baruch had read, he immediately ordered the roll brought before him and read in his hearing. One of the royal attendants, Jehudi by name, fetched the roll and began reading the words of reproof and warning. Well, you think that perhaps the king is going to take heed to the words, right? There's interest here. Well, continuing. It was the time of winter, and the king and his companions of state, the princes of Judah, were gathered about an open fire. Only a small portion had been read when the king, far from trembling at the danger hanging over himself and his people, seized the roll, and in a frenzy of rage, cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed. Verse 23. So instead of the words of the Lord put into written form, bringing about a change for the better in the king, he determined that he did not want this book to exist. And so after hearing it, he blazingly took a penknife, we'd call that like a box cutter knife, and when a portion was read, he would then cut that portion out and throw it into the fire until all the book had been read and all the book had been burned up. So the king was hoping that all these words of reproof would be lost. No one else was going to be able to hear him because he burned the book. Quite brazen, isn't it? But of course, God was the one who gave the word. Is there really any way to keep that word from accomplishing the purpose for which God gave it in the first place? The answer is no. The Catholic Church burned all the Bibles, burned all the writings of Luther they could get their hands on, and the other reformers as well. Did that prevent the Bible or the writings of Luther and other reformers to be in possession of people today? No. So there's no way that God's word can be hid or burned up or destroyed, because God will make sure that the word continues to go forward and reach the hearts of the people. If they kill one messenger, God will raise up 10 more. If they kill those 10, God will raise up 100 more. The word of God is going to get out and spread through every nation, kindred, tongue, and people until everyone has had the opportunity to hear the word, decide for or against the word, and then the end will come.
In a book about the history of the Waldenses, excuse me, they took pages of scripture and baked them in bread and went door to door to those that they knew. And that's how they spread the gospel without being apprehended.
Yeah, amen. I mean, they could only get a few verses in a loaf of bread, so they had to pick the best ones. I'm sure John 3:16 was one of those. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I imagine that was one of the verses. And can you imagine buying a loaf of bread, breaking off a piece and seeing this piece of paper in there? Wouldn't that pique your curiosity to want to know what it said? You know, what is this piece of paper in my loaf? So,
what about God's telephone number?
Yeah, amen. Psalms 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. And that's a promise. And God answers his promises. So, amen. Any other thoughts or comments, Derwin? Who would like to read the next paragraph?
Okay, looks like there's not very many of us here. Neither the king nor his princes were afraid, nor rent their garments. Certain of the princes, however, had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. The writing having been destroyed, the wrath of the wicked king rose against Jeremiah and Baruch, and he sent for them to be taken, but the Lord hid them. Our Lord could hide a guy right in plain sight.
Yeah, amen. You know, Christ, two times, was, one time he was brought to the brow of a hill and the people were going to throw him over the hill, in other words, kill him. And Christ passed right through the midst of them and they didn't see him. Another time, the temple guards were coming to get him, I believe it was, and he passed right through the midst of them, and they didn't know where he went. So angels can definitely shield you to where people cannot see you there, even though you may be standing right in front of them, you know. So you're right, dear brother. God can hide people. He can prevent people from noticing his children. And it's all according to his will. I remember a couple testimonies of individuals. One was they were running from their persecutors and ran into a small little cave, and they figured, well, surely they're checking all of the hiding places around here. Surely we're going to be found. So they began praying to God for his intervention in this and to prevent their persecutors from catching them, from knowing where they went to hide. And so they were silently praying. They heard footsteps. They heard voices. They knew it was their persecutors. They seemed to be all around them. And then they all left. And they were astounded. And they were praising God, of course, right? So after a few hours without hearing anything, they started to come out of the cave, and they noticed that it was covered with cobwebs. There wasn't any cobwebs when they went in, but now there was cobwebs all over. And they figured that God had spiders very quickly spinning their webs, or perhaps God miraculously created a web there. And that indicated to their persecutors that no one could have passed through that small opening into the cave because they would have broken the spider web that was there. So since the spider web was unbroken, then they didn't even bother to search that cave. So God can do miraculous things. The second one I was thinking about was during World War II. And there were a Christian woman and her daughter or son, I forget, or children. And they were at the end of one of the main thoroughfares through the town. And the Germans, or maybe it was the Russians, I forget which, but they were looting, they were killing, they were doing all kinds of mischief to the towns as they were going through the area. And they were very fearful that the same would happen to them. So they got on their knees and were praying to God for his divine intervention in this, that the persecutors, enemy would not find them or do them harm. And they just continued praying. They heard people screaming. They heard gunfire. They heard tanks going right by their house because they were at the main thoroughfare. They heard soldiers marching right past their house. And they just continued to pray. And pretty soon, there was silence all around them. There was no noise, no screaming, no gunfire, nothing around them. And so they waited a few hours just to make sure, you know. And after a few hours without any noise, they were praising God, of course. But they opened their front door, and lo and behold, all they saw was snow. So they punched through the snow and they got outside and they looked back at their house and they noticed that they couldn't see their house. It was completely covered over with snow as if nothing was there but a snowbank. So they recognized that God had heard and answered their prayers and had put all kinds of snow around their place to where it looked like there was nothing there. So, dear ones, our God lives, he rules, and he answers the prayers of his children. You have nothing to fear. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
That reminds me of the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Who would like to read the next paragraph?
In bringing to the attention of the temple worshippers and of the princes and kings, the written admonitions contained in the inspired roll, God was graciously seeking to warn the men of Judah for their good. It may be, he said, the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Verse 3. God pities men struggling in the blindness of perversity. He seeks to enlighten the darkened understanding by sending reproofs and threatenings designed to cause the most exalted to feel their ignorance. and to deplore their errors. He endeavors to help the self-complacent to become dissatisfied with their vain attainments and to seek for spiritual blessing through a close connection with heaven.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Any comments or thoughts on this? So here we see that God is going the extra 10 miles, if you will. Not just the extra mile, but the extra mile, etc. He had Jeremiah speak the words of warning. That didn't seem to do what God hoped. So he had Jeremiah write the words in a book so that they could read it for themselves. And that didn't seem to work either. But notice that God pities men and women struggling in the blindness of perversity. He seeks to enlighten the darkened understanding by sending reproofs and threatenings designed to cause the most exalted to feel their ignorance and to deplore their errors. He tries to help the self-complacent. He helps them by allowing them to be dissatisfied with their attainments and leads them to seek for something better and to have a close connection with heaven. So speaking the word didn't work. God didn't say, well, I tried. It's too late. No, I'm done. He put them in a book. That didn't seem to work. And yet we see that God still pities those that are struggling with blindness, that have darkened understanding. And he tries to awaken them to seek for something better. In other words, to stop focusing upon themselves and look up. Any other thoughts or comments? Continuing, God's plan is not to send messengers who will please and flatter sinners. He delivers no messages of peace to lull the unsanctified into carnal security. Instead, he lays heavy burdens upon the conscience of the wrongdoer and pierces his soul with sharp arrows of conviction. Ministering angels present to him the fearful judgments of God to deepen the sense of need and to prompt the agonizing cry, "What must I do to be saved?" Acts 16:30. But the hand that humbles to the dust, rebukes sin, and puts pride and ambition to shame is the hand that lifts up the penitent stricken one. With deepest sympathy, he who permits the chastisement to fall inquires, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" Isn't that amazing? So God sends warnings of what's coming in the hope that individuals will recognize their need of protection and then come to God asking him what they should do. And God then tells them what to do. Look to Jesus. Accept him as your Savior. He will set you free. And God looks at all individuals that are in rebellion with deepest sympathy, so that when he allows chastisement to fall upon them as punishment, he then, with that punishment, says, "What do you want me to do to help you?" So he just doesn't punish for the fun of it. He punishes for a purpose, to lead individuals to come to him for help. Any other thoughts or comments, Derwent?
Sometimes things happen to you when you're young and you wonder why God hasn't answered your prayer. And you find out when you get older, he not only answered your prayer, but gave you so much more that you didn't ask for. And so if you don't see an answer to your prayer right now, just wait. You will see that God answered your prayer and gave you so much more than what you asked for. That has been my experience.
Who'd like to read the next paragraph?
When a man has sinned against a holy and merciful God, he can pursue no cause so noble to repent sincerely and confess his errors in tears and bitterness of soul. This God requires of him. He accepts nothing less than a broken heart and a contrite spirit. But King Jehoiakim and his lords, in their arrogance and pride, refuse the invitation of God. They do not heed the warning and repent. The gracious opportunity proffered them at the time of the burning of the sacred room was their lot. Was their last. God had declared that if at that time they refused to hear his voice, he would inflict upon them a fearful retribution. They did not They did refuse to hear, and he pronounced his final judgment upon Judah, and he would visit with special wrath the man who had proudly lifted himself up against the Almighty.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. So here we see that God is merciful. He pities those that are in error. He pities those that are in sin. And he continues to try and get them to look to him, to come to him for help. But there comes a point in time in which God can do no more for them. And the message that he sends them can be the last message. In the scriptures, we find the very last message of mercy for the entire world is found in Revelation 14, 7 to 12, and Revelation 18, 1 to 5. The last message of mercy. The three angels' messages connected with the fourth angel, the loud cry. That is the very last message of mercy for the world. There's no other messages past that last one. So God holds out and sends messages to reach the hearts of the people until the last message comes. And if the people refuse to heed that warning and repent, then the next thing they can expect is fearful retribution, final judgments. So grace has a limit. It's not forever grace. It's not eternal grace. Grace has a limit. And we don't want to play around thinking that we can accept the message of truth tomorrow, but today we're going to do what we want. We can't mess around, because tomorrow may be too late for us. The voice of mercy will no longer be heard. And all we can expect is retribution and judgment. So today, if you hear his voice, don't wait for tomorrow. Don't harden your heart. But allow God's word to soften and subdue it, and then you'll have mercy. Happy Sabbath, dear sister and family. Glad you're joining with us. Any thoughts or comments, dear ones? Please feel free.
Sister Susan put the name of a song in the room, God Will Make a Way. I don't know that song, but there may be words to it that we could read as a poem if you can find that song.
Sister Susan, were you referring to if any little word of mine can make a heart brighter? Were you thinking of that tune? Well, let's read one last paragraph for tonight. Thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them. Jeremiah 36, verses 30 and 31. So we see here that God means what he says. And when individuals presume upon the long-sufferingness of God, and they will not repent, then there comes a point in time in which they can't repent. Probation closes, and they are forever lost. And sadly, this happened to Jehoiakim. But notice, it wasn't just God punishing him, Jehoiakim, but God also includes the offspring of Jehoiakim and the servants of Jehoiakim. And that's called corporate responsibility. That's the essence of the loud cry. Come out of Babylon, or you're going to be held guilty for her sins, and you're going to be punished right along with her. So because of Jehoiakim's sins, his children and his servants were included in the punishment. That's corporate responsibility. Any other thoughts or insights, dear ones? Please feel free. And next time we'll pick it up at the next paragraph that starts out, the burning of the roll was not the end of the matter. And that's about two-thirds of the way down on page 436. So that's where we'll begin next Friday. Are there any final thoughts, any insights or testimonies, anything else you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead. Yeah, dear sister, God will make a way. I don't know where that is. Maybe there's other words you can say that's part of it.
Sister Cece has a nice suggestion.
Amen. That's a great song. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Through days of toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day, or all the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you. Amen. So Sister Susan has put words in the room here to the song, God Will Make a Way. Brother Dick, do you happen to know this hymn and sing it for us?
Thank you. bad connection, but it seems like your puppy knows the words. And if there's no music to this, it's fine. Not a problem. No worries. Hugs and love to all. God bless.
Love you too, Sister Susan.
Well, maybe this is homework. We have to find out the tune to the song and be able to sing it next time. So, thank you, dear Sister Susan. We'll see if we can find a way.
Find it. We're having really bad weather. This is hurricane season. So, you know, things are bad. I want to also make a request that we keep the family in Texas, all the families going through the massive travesties that are there, keep the families in prayer. I can't believe that I've spoken to a lot of people about this, and there's so many people have no idea what I'm referring to. I could not believe that they did not know this, but once again, you know, it is the way it is, and I just would like to make a request to keep those families in prayer. And as far as passing out tracts, if anybody's listening, I've been doing it a long time. Like you said, put them in the pockets, put them in tamper boxes. It doesn't matter. Because I've had many people throw them out. I have seen them throw them out. But I don't get discouraged because, like you said, maybe the trash man will read it. What did they say? God's word never comes back void. So it's not for us to convert anybody. It's not for us to force them to read something. You know, we're like little farmers. We plant the seeds of God's truth. He waters it, cultivates it, and eventually takes his crop. So that's the best we can do. And if people are afraid to speak to anyone, like you said, tracts are the way to go. Cards, tracts, booklets. You know, leave them where you can. And you know me, around the holiday time, what they consider holiday, Halloween, I put them in the pumpkins. I've gotten as bold as to go to the Catholic Church and put them on the Pope's hand that they have the statue of outside. You know, so I'm not suggesting people do that, but I do. And I've been also forced by security to take them off cars in Walmart parking lots and take 100 tracts and have to go pick them back up. So I've done that as well. That's not a problem because then I moved on to another parking lot like Target and used the same 100 tracts. So it is what it is, my dear ones, but don't be afraid. Because God will protect you and God will make a way. Sabbath blessings all. God bless.
Yeah, amen. He will make a way. You've heard me tell the story before, so I'll just be very brief on it. A worker put a track on a windshield. The person got in the car, left the track under the windshield wiper, drove off, and it flew off on the freeway and landed in the emergency lane, the divider there between the different traveling cars on the freeway. So you'd think that no one was going to get that track because it's on the other side of the fast lane and who's going to pull over. And anyway, so this one driver was praying to God to know what the mark of the beast was. And out of the corner of his eye, he saw this piece of paper with writing on it as he whizzed by at 60 or 65 miles an hour. And he was heavily impressed to stop because that piece of paper had something important for him. So he pulls over in the center divider. He runs back, picks up the piece of paper, and it's a track on the mark of the beast. So the individual that didn't want the track that was put under the windshield wiper and drove off, and it flew off on the freeway and landed in the emergency lane, God still took care of that track. And he impressed an individual to come and pick it up who needed it the most.
Praise the Lord. I'll tell you one thing. Back in 2010, I was at a flea market, a big flea market, which is long gone, a long time ago. And I used to hand out tracts to the people there. And there was a man that came by, and he had that book. I forget the author's name. You know, the Sunday Law book. And he was walking by with the book, and it caught my eye, and I said, well, what is that? And I asked the man, I said, where'd you get it? He said, well, around the corner, there's a guy handing out free books. So instead of me leaving the flea market and going do my thing, I went and found this person that had the book. I wanted to read it, and, yeah, I think it was back in 2010 or something like that, maybe even sooner. But anyway, I got a book. He gave me the book for free, and I read it, and I kind of tossed it aside. I was like, okay, not a problem. In the meantime, I couldn't find the book when I wanted it, and maybe about a year later, I was somewhere else, and I saw the same book, and I said, I remember that. And there was an SDA church that I was affiliated with. As a matter of fact, that's where I got baptized, and eventually I told them to take me off their roster because I wasn't a government agent and I didn't want to be there anymore. They didn't appreciate that, and they didn't understand it in the beginning to divert. I told them, I said, you have a 501c3, you're a government agent, I don't work for the government, so take me off your list. Eventually they did, but nevertheless to say, you know, they had the books over there too in that vicinity. And I finally read it, and I, you know, it goes to show just like this man, if God wants you to see something, or he wants you to have it, or to know it, just like Sister Joan said, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to bring it to you, and you can accept it or not, but God's still going to put it in your face. And I know that's kind of crude to say it like that, but it's the truth. God, if he wants you to know or see something, he definitely will bring it to your awareness. And at that point, you have to make that definitive choice as to what you're going to do. And I praise God every day for giving me every opportunity, even when I was too stubborn to pay attention to it.
Amen, dear sister. And you mentioned the flood victims there in Texas. There's also flood victims in China. Their gigantic dam, the Three Gorges Dam, there's been so much rain in the area that they've had to open up 11 of the 12 spillways, I think it is. Anyway, and that, of course, is way too much water for the villages downstream to handle, and it's causing destruction, just like it's done there in Texas.
Absolutely. Also in Mexico. They've been having a lot of problem out in Mexico as well. I don't know if you're aware of that, but they've had mass floodings in Mexico in the past few days. And you know the ironic part about this, which is devastating no matter what, but I was watching the ones in Texas, and I don't know, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, I'm just making a comment that the facility that was wiped out was air quotes, quote unquote, a Christian camp for children. But when I was listening to one of the TV reporters, they were saying how the girls that were deceased, God rest their souls, and you know, but they had their rosary beads in their hands and whatever not. Now it kind of flagged something to me. And I said, you know, I said, God's working his way because this encampment has been evidently around since the 60s. And they have generations of families coming to this facility. And that's what they profess to believe. you know, more of the Catholicism, belief, so to speak. And, you know, evidently our Lord and Savior is getting ready to come back and he's cleaning up the land because, you know, maybe somebody will wake up. It's devastating that it was children, devastating that the families had to deal with this. But here we have Texas, then right back to back where, like you said, China, then we have Mexico coming down. So these are the signs of the time that we're looking at. It's very scary from a human perspective, but from the spiritual one, it gives us hope that this is coming closer for us to go home. So, but I just thought it was very odd that it was a Catholic facility and the comments that they were making about the rosary beads and the things. And you know, the sad part about it, the little children that were there, 7, 8 years old, 6 years old, the small ones, they even lost a 9-month-old baby out in the floods. You know, all I can do is have faith enough that God knows exactly what he's doing. And that those little babies like that didn't suffer. That's the only thing I can hope and pray for. Anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Yeah, I was unaware about the flooding in Mexico, so we'll definitely be keeping all of that in our prayers. Are there... Yeah, with the Texas floods, they got 10 inches of rain in just a few hours. So that's like 3 inches of rain an hour. That is amazing. That is a lot of rain. And that's why that, what was it, Guadalupe River? That's why that river went from almost nothing all the way up to overflowing its banks beyond flood stage in just 45 minutes. I mean, it was extremely fast.
Certain areas of water and, some people that were living closer to, or they were there for the 4th of July weekend, so to speak, the campers that have been down there, and the ones that were closer to the river, the kids were swimming in there. That was a resort. And like you said, the water came so quick, so rapid, so fast, with such fury, and it was at nighttime, and everybody lost power. There was no power, no reception, and it was in the middle of the night. They didn't have a chance. There was one lady they found actually in a tree. She was alive. And praise God that there was a man that was up on the hill and they happened to spot her. I mean, obviously they couldn't get to her till Blackhawks came out there with, you know, the helicopters to air rescue her. But she was clinging in the trees. She was banged up really badly, but praise God they found her.
Amen. She's got a second chance, or maybe a third or fourth chance. So praise God that he's in control, and he's definitely working to save all who will be saved, who make that choice to follow him.
Isn't this foretold in prophecy that the angels that are holding back the winds and the rain and all of that will be loosed in the last days, and it's to draw people close to Christ because it is what prophecy is foretelling. Another reason why it's important to understand prophecy, and I'm not going to make a commercial here, but on Wednesday nights, we're studying Daniel and Revelation prophecy, and it's very, very interesting. tune in. It's at 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, amen. That's 6 o'clock Pacific time. It's 9 o'clock Eastern. But you're right. It is extremely interesting. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones, before we have closing prayer? Please go right ahead.
I'd like to make a quick comment about the handing out of tracts and booklets. I've always been too afraid to do that until this last year, and I've been trying to this last year, but I really do suffer from a lot of social anxiety, and I find it really difficult. And I often feel bad because I feel like there's so many people that desperately need the truth and that desperately need a warning. And here I am, too shy to walk up to them and hand them a booklet. And it's just, I often feel bad about it.
Brother Michael, I'm sorry to interject. You don't know me. My name is Susan. And you don't have to walk up to a person and hand them a tract. You can leave tracts in other spots. You can leave tracts. I have left them, as I said earlier, in tamper boxes in the store at Walmart. On Easter Sunday, I would leave them on the hams. I would put them in the case where they would have big hams. I put them in beer cases. I've left them on registers right there while the people were being checked out or the self-checkouts. I leave them down the aisles for different things. I've left them where the hot chickens are in the store. So don't be shy. You don't have to hand them out to a person if you don't feel comfortable to do that. But on the same hand, that doesn't mean that you can't hand them out. On Halloween, even at Walmart, they have pumpkins. I put them in the pumpkins. Or Christmas time, I put them in the Christmas trees in their section where they have them set up. So you can put them wherever you want to put them if you feel a little uncomfortable. But like Brother Rob said, if it's meant for them to find it, if it's out there, they'll find it. But they can't find it if it's not there. So don't be shy. And you don't have to be bold like some of us, maybe too bold, but on the same hand, there's always a way to put them out. Leave them at the bus stops if you have a bus stop. You know, leave them in the laundromats down in your town if you can. You know, if they have a local pegboard like at apartment buildings and things like that, you know, peg one up to a pegboard. There's many ways to get them out there. You know, just don't put them in people's mailboxes, because I learned a long time ago you get in trouble doing that. So don't leave them in the mailboxes. But other than that, I hope this helped you a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. I need to look into some other ways of doing things like that. I think with the mailbox thing, what you do for that is instead you mail it to their address. Oh, that might cost some money, though. Although that's not too much if it's just a small tract.
I've done that as well. So I'll take the phone book, and I'll start at, like, the A's or wherever God wants to impress me, and I'll just put three tracts in the envelope, address it, send it off.
Hot pink scooter, and I used to make parchment rolls out of some of the tracts, you know, almost like a scroll. I'd have the tracts, I'd roll them up, and I'd put pretty ribbon on it, and just like the old-fashioned paper boys, now I'm dating myself, I'd ride up and down the streets, and when I was on one side, I'd toss them in the yards, because it's not illegal to do that. And then I'd come back up the other side and toss them in the yard like the paper boys. And, you know, I had a satchel and I had it filled with them. And I would. I thought the scrolls rolled up like that would make a little more weight for me to toss them. Another trick, too, by putting them out is I used to put them if I printed out a tract, I put them on neon paper. Because people are very curious, what's the pink paper? What's that neon yellow paper say? I'd go in the shopping carts in the Target shop and put them outside in the carts. In Florida, they call them buggies. But if you have a neon one, that people are, wow, what's that? You know, so it's pretty neat. Brother Rob, I think you're going to have to hang me up.
All right, no problem, dear sister. Yeah, just spread the truth as simply as you can and follow God's directions and everything will be fine. Go ahead, Brother Dick.
I was going to say, in Australia, they call those things trolleys. A buggy, a cart, or a trolley.
Yeah, and in Australia, you can go ahead and put tracks in mailboxes. There's nothing against the law in doing that. But here in the States, the federal government says that that mailbox is their property, even though you bought it, you installed it. It's not yours, it's theirs. And thus it's under their law.
So if
you put something in the mailbox of another person, you're breaking the law because they consider you delivering mail. And that makes you a fraud because it didn't come through their mail system. So here in America, do not put anything in a mailbox. But you can put it elsewhere. So God says his word is going to go forth, and he asks us to be his witnesses in sending the word forth. And there are many, many different ways to get the word out. And God will do the rest. Any last thoughts or comments, dear ones? Please feel free.
Just want to say big hugs and happy Sabbath to everyone. It's really been nice hearing your individual thoughts and getting to know you better as a family, because we are God's family.
Amen. Amen. And who would like to offer closing prayer? And please go right ahead.
With open hearts, we thank you, Father, for another blessed week and bringing us through it. We pray for the people that have had these horrific situations, and we keep them in prayer. Heavenly Father, only you know the beginning and the end. Please give us the courage to continue on. Let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us in all that we do. And please keep our hearts open to the truth, your truth. And please let us have the courage to spread this truth to the people out there. Heavenly Father, I'd also like to keep Sister Lynn and her family in prayer. And dear Heavenly Father, keep each and every one of us here and the people that still couldn't come tonight. Keep them in prayer, Father God. And please don't let anything hinder our prayers. I believe I saw in the comments tonight someone made a comment that they felt like their prayers weren't being heard. And I'm sorry, I don't know who it is, but I think I read it tonight. So whoever you are that wrote that you don't think that your prayers are being heard, God hears everything that we say. And even if we don't have a voice, he listens to our heart and hears our words. Heavenly Father, whoever made that comment tonight, please let them know that you do hear their prayers, but they have to have enough faith and trust in you to guide whatever the prayer is. It's your will, not ours. Just because we pray to you, we know, Heavenly Father, that doesn't mean that it's going to turn out the way we want it. But we love you, and whatever your will is, we accept it. And thank you for this prayer group. Thank you for this prayer family that we have here. And all the new people, I welcome everyone here. And all of the people that are listening to this, this is a great church family, and I love each and every one of them. And Heavenly Father, we love you. In Jesus' mighty and loving name, amen.
Amen. We love you too, dear sister. Big hugs. Well, dear ones, remember to keep in your prayers all of those that are going through trials and tribulations. And thank you so much for your prayers for me and mine. Until we meet again,
keep looking up.
Looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
Brother Dick, do you happen to know the song that Sister Susan put in the room? It's called God Will Make a Way.
God Will Make a Way? I don't think so. There was another song somebody put some words in there that I recognize the words in the tune, but I don't know where I would find it.
Yeah, Sister Susan said, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way, he will make a way. Does that sound like a tune that you've song? Yeah. New to me, so I guess we have some homework.
Yeah.
Actually, I know that song.
I'd have to hear
it. Oh, Joshy, you want to sing it? Go ahead.
Sure, throw the rock. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. Oh, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he leads. Rivers through the desert, The rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. And he will do something new today. Oh God, make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. By roadway in the wilderness, he'll lead me. And rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. And he will do something new today. Oh God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way.
Amen. Don't clap.
Thank you, Joshi. That was beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sister Jo. And to you too, Sister Susan.
Brother Rudy, I'm glad to see that you joined us. We're closing now, but we heard that there was some flooding there in Mexico. How are you doing in that regard? Thank you, Sister Cece. Brother Rudy made it into the room.
God be praised, Elder Rob. By God's grace, we were able to, the Lord answered prayers and we were able to come in.
Oh, amen. I'm glad to have you both here, but we're now closing the meeting.
Time to get the mic. Oh, it's on. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we can hear you, brother. Go right ahead.
Oh, the Lord is good. The Lord is good all the time. Sister Cece gave me the guidance so that I could get back into the room because I was having problems. I wasn't receiving the connection. And all kind of different things came up, and I became so frustrated because I didn't know where to go. But then she just guided me into, and I have it step by step, hopeful that tomorrow I'll be able to do it. If not, then I call her to guide me along.
Good, that's good.
It's wonderful. You don't know what it means to me to have the opportunity to return because, you know, my heart was just wasn't beating well. But I'm so happy I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
So glad you're here, dear twin.
Oh, yes, dear twin. I miss hearing you. But the Lord is good. The Lord is so good. And He's good all the time.
Do you two celebrate birthdays on the same day or just the same month?
Same month. Same year.
Same year.
Rudy is September 1, I'm September 6.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So since it's the same year and the same month, we're twins.
That's right. That's close enough.
That's very good. That's the blessing of the Lord, you know, and that we actually keep it alive. It helps both of us because I'm concerned about her as she's concerned about me. I guess that's the way twins are when they are together in the womb.
That's right.
Yeah, and Mom has to respect Brother Rudy because he's 5 days her elder.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's true. Respect.
I'm bad elders. With numbers. I don't look at that at all. I just know I got my twin in September 37. Whoa! I don't need anything more, you know?
Can you believe it?
And we enjoy it a whole lot when we are communicating. Yeah, it's so wonderful because sometimes she sends a picture and then I give the picture a name of what I see. And it becomes such a rewarding thing, you know? And this is what goes on between twins.
That's true.
So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to disconnect anything. If it's time, it's time to go, well, I just ride along. Are you going to sing Look Up, Brother Dick?
Oh, sure. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.